This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast, VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up, the Bear, Chris Felica, Fox Sports. We will go over the World Cup, the NBA Finals, a little wrap there. I know a painful memory for the Bear to relive, as he and I both had some long shot bets on the Spurs. But we'll talk some NBA Finals, World Cup, baseball, some golf with the U.S. Open around the corner. So always good to have Bear on. We got four World Cup games on Monday. We'll preview all those. We'll get his thoughts on the tournament so far. But we have to start with a little bit of a look back. The New York Knicks, and it's just, it's a sentence that just, it's hard to get used to. When you get married, it takes a little time to get used to saying my wife, or when you get engaged, my fiance. Those are words that just don't feel right. They don't sound right coming off the tongue. The New York Knicks are NBA champions. The NBA champions are the New York Knicks. The Knicks win it in five, and this series is over. This game five followed the script of a lot of the other games where the Spurs get up big, and they gack it away. And look, we'll go on a lot about the Knicks here and kind of put this in perspective. The Spurs absolutely gacked it away. They looked young. They choked is not a word I use often on this podcast, because you know what? Sometimes one team wins, sometimes the other team loses, and just it's not always a choke. This is a choke. And I said on the Friday show, De'Aaron Fox, you can have him. Mitch Johnson, the Spurs coach, you can have him too. Both those opinions were reinforced Saturday night. That is an awful, awful performance by both those guys. Fox shooting 3 of 15. He committed one of the bigger plays of the game when, you know, the Spurs have a pretty comfortable lead. He shoves Hart in the back, leads to a flagrant, a five-point play. He was awful. His decision-making throughout the series was awful. And Mitch Johnson is complicit, because Mitch Johnson left him on the court and let him shoot 3 of 15. I thought Wemby resting in certain spots, you know, was unnecessary. I thought that was a horrendous, horrendously coached series by the Spurs. I know they'll probably bring him back and say, hey, young team, young coach, you give him a pass. They overachieved. Learning moment for everybody. That's probably the most likely outcome. Boy, I'd have a hard time looking that guy in the eye and having him be my coach going forward. He was terrible, terrible in this series. In a lot of ways cost him the series. And the stats on this series are just insane. Knicks with the first, third, and fifth biggest comebacks in NBA Finals history of all time, all in this series. The Spurs led for 72% of the series. And not only to lose a series when you lead for 72%, to lose it in five, it's hard to believe. It's hard to fathom. The Knicks just keep coming. Brunson was brilliant in game number five. He wins the MVP. You know, the Ananobi tickets, close but no cigar. That would have been an interesting vote after game four. But you know what? There's more games to be played. So the idea that Tim Bontemps, hey, this is OG, it's not even close. Well, one game later, it's Brunson, it's not even close. So much for that. Had no problem with Brunson winning the MVP. That was a, you know, kind of a foregone conclusion. I didn't even go back and check the voting. I'm sure he got every vote and was unanimous. Just a brilliant performance. 45 points on the road in a closeout victory. I mean, it's when you're in the same company, same conversation as Michael Jordan, is the only player to do that. That speaks for itself. He was outstanding. Would have been an interesting conversation had the Spurs won, because Wembanyama, they probably would have given him a break. They give him every break known to man, the league does. You could have certainly made a case that should have been a flagrant, which would have given him enough points. I'm alluding to the play where he closed out on Brunson, and they didn't even call a foul on it, and Brunson was furious. That Wembanyama, another flagrant, would have had him suspended. Again, they probably would give him a break. They don't want him out in game six, but that would have been a talking point the next couple days. Just kind of bummed the series is over. It was so much fun. It was great drama. It was great theater. It's the best five-game series I've ever seen, just in terms of competitiveness. You can't put it as an all-time classic series when it goes five. And I was thinking of, you know, recent series that are great that are just on that level. Spurs in Heat 2013, that went seven. Lakers-Celtics 2010, that was an ugly game seven, but that went seven. Warriors, Cavs, a lot of blowouts in that series, but that went seven, and game seven was close. Plus you had the storylines with LeBron, and you had him, well, you know, Warriors were 73-9. So you can't have a five gamer on this level, but in terms of a five gamer, this was as good as it gets. And the Knicks win, and you just look back, the Knicks and sports odds history, which is a fun site to go to sometimes, look up this stuff. Opening night, 9-1. All right, not a shocker. All-star break, 14-1. Prior to the playoffs, 22-1. Down 2-1 to Atlanta in the first round, 40-1. And then prior to round two, 9-1. Prior to the conference finals, plus 550. which is still pretty juicy when you think about it, when you're down to, you know, only four teams left. And then prior to the NBA Finals, plus 160. They're plus 2,200 odds prior to the start of the playoffs, are the longest of any NBA champion as far as they've been tracking. So they've been tracking since 1975, which makes sense. You know, the NBA is not a, is a chalk sport. The NBA is a chalk sport. It's not one of these sports where it's baseball. You get in, you get hot, and you win. Or NFL single elimination. There's some variance there. NBA, it's the cream rises to the top. It's chalk. And 22-1 before the playoffs, you don't see that. I mean, Dallas was a team in the 2011 season. All right, kind of came out of nowhere and they won. I'm sure their odds were sort of similar to this. But for the most part, these teams that win it are the teams you expect it to win. It's one of the one seeds or the two seeds in each conference. So this was an out-of-nowhere run. I've been saying I can't really remember a run where a team went from being good, fringe, sort of outside contender to a dominant champion like this. But the Knicks, only three losses in the playoffs. Hard to believe. Didn't play a game seven. The only game six was against Atlanta. Atlanta probably takes a little solace in, hey, we were up 2-1 on these guys somehow, even though the Knicks absolutely blowtorched them to end the series. I mean, think about that. The Knicks are up. The Knicks are down 2-1 and lose one game the rest of the year. I mean, what odds would you have needed on that? Just incredible. Now, some of it, all right, the East was weak. All right, some of it, these teams coming off seven-game series, all of that. But, hey, they win the championship. And, you know, just as a sports fan, even if you're not a Knicks fan, there is something to – there's something special about, wow, you know, this team with the long drought, could they do it? This team's never going to win a championship, and it's 94-90. Wembanyama misses a three. Knicks get the rebound. Spurs don't foul. And the Knicks are NBA champions. And there's just that moment of it actually happened. You know, we experienced it with the Cubs in 2016, experienced it with the Red Sox in 2004. There is something special. All the commercials afterwards of it happened. It happened. There's a lot of holy bleep moments. And that's what I keep coming back to. Holy bleep. The Knicks are NBA champions. It was a little awkward because Mike Breen, who does the play-by-play for ESPN ABC, clearly a Knicks fan, but he kind of shies away from it. But I think it was Richard Jefferson who brought up, hey, you're a lifelong Knicks fan. This has got to be great for you. Where Breen tries to remain impartial. He does a great job, you know, remaining impartial. You would never know listening to the game he's a Knicks fan unless you were looking for it. But he tried to shy away from that. That was a little bit awkward. And, you know, just think about the Saturday night 2 weeks ago, San Antonio wins in OKC. And they're going to the finals. Wembanyama's crying. 2 weeks later, a Saturday night, 2 weeks almost to the day, or to the minute, the Knicks are celebrating in San Antonio. They win all three games in San Antonio. Just a bitter loss for San Antonio. And you could say, you know what, the Spurs will be back. They're young. All three players, their three best players are 22 and under. It's probably the case. That's probably the case. But you know what? OKC in 2012 thought they'd be back. They weren't. At least not with that group. Shaq and Penny with the Magic. Now, I know Shaq left, but they didn't go back. You know, Marino made a Super Bowl, famously never got back when he made one early in his career. Aaron Rodgers won one early in his career, never got back. It's hard to get back. OKC is still really good now. I'm sure as long as Wembanyama stays healthy, they'll be in the mix. But, you know, to be in the finals, to have huge leads in all these games and to blow them, that's something that's going to stick with you for a very long time. And again, I can't criticize enough. Mitch Johnson, De'Aaron Fox, they're going to have a lot of criticism coming their way this summer, this offseason. They deserve every bit of it. They were awful. That was an embarrassing coaching performance. And Fox was hideous. Boy, I'd have a hard time looking at those guys. And you don't want to be too reactionary, but just a really, really awful performance from both those guys. And you go look at the Knicks, you know, it's almost two, you break it up into two sort of categories. For a good 10, 15 years, the Knicks were close but no cigar. John Starks, Charles Smith, the missed layup by Patrick Ewing, losing to Jordan, losing to the Rockets in the finals, and just being close but no cigar, heartbreak. And that was one aspect of it. And that's almost in a lot of ways more painful than the next 20 years where they're just irrelevant and they win one playoff series and they're missing the playoffs and they're a laughingstock. And you fast forward 2019, they think they're going to get all these free agents. They strike out. They end up with Randall. Back in 2010, you think maybe they'll get LeBron or Wade or Bosch. They end up with Amari Stoudemire, eventually Carmelo, which that fit didn't work. You know, the Knicks did it the hard way. Usually the easy way, like the Lakers, all right, LeBron decides to go there. You trade the rest of your stuff for Davis, and all of a sudden you got a mini super team. The Knicks, they didn't get that luck. You didn't get the, hey, the best player in his prime is just going to say, hey, I'm going to come play for you. You had just base hit after base hit, draw walk, base hit, and just little moves. Josh Hart for a first-round pick. You draft Barrett and Quickley. You flip them into OG. Controversial trade, but an upgrade. Towns, you get him in the trade for Randall and DiVincenzo. Controversial trade, but it worked. You fire Thibodeau and you replace him with Mike Brown. Controversial move. Look, Thibodeau, Knicks haven't been to the conference finals in a while. You upset Boston to move on from him. That was a gutsy move. They did that. The Knicks just kept hitting base hit after base hit after base hit. And, you know, I guess the Grand Slam home run was Brunson. Didn't seem like that at the time. That was a guy who never made an all-star team. Just incredible, impressive team building from the Knicks. And if you're a fan of these other teams and these other sports, I'm a Vikings fan, a Lions fan, a Browns fan, Toronto Maple Leafs, these teams that haven't won a championship in a long time, you can kind of relate. And it does get kind of emotional to see, you know, these fans who have waited so long. I mean, if you're a diehard Knicks fan, how many Knicks Wizards games did you sit through in the middle of January, you know, over these 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? And man, this team stinks. Or man, this team's good, but they're not good enough. And here they are holding up the trophy. Just incredible. Incredible moment, incredible theater. And we'll see here. I'll be interested in the last thing on this before we get to Bear. I'll be interested next year in the next 3 or 4 years. Is this the start of a 3 or 4 year run where the Knicks maybe win another championship or in the mix for more championships? Or is this more of a one-off? I would imagine this team doesn't win another one, but you know what? First off, it's been a long time since they won this one, and I didn't think they were going to win this one. If you asked me a couple months ago, I wouldn't have thought they were going to win this one. So congrats to the Knicks. Congrats to their fans. Terrible job by the Spurs. Just a horrendous performance, horrendous coaching performance as the Knicks, I'll say it one more time, are NBA champions. Hard to believe. When we come back, the Bear, Chris Felica, get his thoughts on this series. Look at next year's odds. World Cup, baseball, plenty to do. The Bear, Chris Felica. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. We'll be back.
This is Should Have Bet More with Will Hill. Only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're back. Should have been more podcast, and he is back. Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast. A great time of year to have him. It's always a great time, but especially this time of year with the World Cup and everything going on. It is the Bear, Chris Felica. Bear, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, I'm just terrific. We couldn't be better.
All right.
At some point, why do we do this? Why do we continue banging our heads against the brick wall, getting all of these incredible futures from 150-1 to a title game, or 45-1 to being $2 in the favorite, or 40-1 most valuable player in the series to +110. Why bother anymore? Seriously.
Yeah, and what Bear is alluding to, Ananobi bets, Spurs bets. I mean, you go down Miami college football, UConn college hoops, Caruso. There's unfortunately a long list of these, an ever-growing pile. And you were on a month ago. I went back and listened. I sent it to you. May 18th, 1 month ago, right before OKC versus the Spurs. You and I both had Spurs 45-1 to win it all, yep. And we hedged with OKC to win the West. And I sarcastically said, well, you can plan the parade a month from now for the Knicks because, well, that's the only way we get screwed. And here we are. You know what? The parade is almost going to be a month to the day, yep, from that moment. And it's hard to believe sometimes. It really is frustrating.
No, it is. And it's just fascinating. The mathematical impossibility to have a 12-point lead in 5 straight games and lose 4 of them. You could do an hour probably of all of the ridiculous stats that you come across in the NBA finals. What the Knicks had, 1-2-6 and like 9 biggest comebacks in finals history, and all of them came in this series, and the Spurs leading for 73% of the time in the series. It's absolutely, hey, I'll tell you what, give the Knicks credit. They got down and they didn't quit. And the Spurs, I mean, I guess you can say youth, but I think a lot of it's on the coaching too. I mean, Mitch Johnson did not really do himself any favors in this series by allowing 4 double-digit leads like this to be pissed away. Like it's something to make a change, call a timeout. And I know you, De'Aaron Fox is your guy and you traded for him. And if you bench him, what kind of message, does that send for next year? But he did not do a good job in this series.
No, he did not. And look, they'll probably give him a pass to say, you know what, young team, young coach, overachieved, all those things, beat OKC in the final, they'll bring him back. I'd have a hard time looking that guy in the eye and having him be my coach again. He was that bad. How you let Fox go 3-15? How you let Fox on the floor? And shoving people in the back. I thought the shove on the back of Hart on the play that gave him eventually a 5-point play because Hart made the basket, a flagrant. They scored that. I mean, maybe the Knicks would have came back anyway because they're just like a cockroach. You can't kill them. But when the Knicks, and they were on the verge of being blown out a couple times, and I just thought Fox was terrible, and I thought the coach was terrible. I thought he was resting Wemby in spots where the Knicks were starting to cut in the lead. I don't think you could have coached a worse series. I think, really, it's harsh. Almost like the Bill Buckner of coaching series. He was that bad in that series. If it were me, honestly, and maybe it's reactionary, I'd be looking to make a change. I'd look for a new coach. I really would.
The Mitch Johnson coaching performance in the NBA Finals is like akin to the Texas Tech strategy in trying to defend their defense of Brendan Swirsby and allowing him to play. Like every wrong move that you can make, they have done. Like every wrong move Mitch Johnson can make, he did. So, yeah, maybe there's something about the water in Texas there, whether it's West Texas in Lubbock or in San Antonio.
Did you not hedge? I don't think I've asked you this. I mean, you and I talked about it a little bit. I hedged a little bit. Wish I'd hedged more. How much did you hedge, if at all, with the Knicks game to game? Anything?
Game to game, no. I didn't. But prior to the series, I did take some Knicks money line, Knicks series price, and I took the Knicks plus a half a game against it. But for nowhere near the amount that I probably should have. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20. But I walked away with a little something, but nowhere near the amount that I potentially would have had San Antonio actually won for these five games in which they led by double digits, 12 points.
I can relate. Good news, though, Bear. The futures for next year are up for the NBA Finals. Spurs and Thunder are co-250 favorites. Celtics plus 550, Knicks plus 650. Indy 28-1. I saw another book has Indy 40-1. Nuggets 31, as are the Timberwolves, Lakers, Pistons, Cavs. The one I'd look at here, Clippers 75-1, Magic 80-1. Do you want to go down?
That's the one you're looking at?
No, the one I would look at, and we have a joke about how the Clippers just always seem to get the benefit of the doubt. Charlotte 90-1. They're probably a year away. Maybe the old Fran Fraschilli, a year away from being your way. With that talent, I could see them in the next couple of years playing in like a conference finals again. That would be just another case of, hey, you bet it. You know what? It's probably good value. Probably doesn't get home. I don't know. Did any of those numbers jump out to you here? Go ahead.
What do we think about the Celtics? I mean, are the Celtics serious players to get Giannis and restack their roster and rebuild their roster and you get rid of Jaylen Brown and you kind of build your team differently and maybe you're not a 3-point shooting bonanza like you've been. Like, I mean, I guess that would probably be the play. Maybe you take a price on Indiana to win the East if Halliburton comes back and you got Zubac. That could be a little bit of a forgotten team. Like the lost season that they had this year could kind of help the next year. So I don't know. I think Boston would probably be the play if you do think Giannis is going to Boston and maybe they make a couple of other moves.
Yeah, and I do think that's possible from, you know, the whispers, not only Giannis to Boston, but then they could turn around and whatever other assets they have, maybe get Trey Murphy from the Pelicans. Then all of a sudden you got a core of Tatum, Giannis, Trey Murphy, and you fill out the rest of the roster, and all of a sudden you're back in a conference finals of finals. That being said, I mean, you're still going to have to deal with the West juggernaut, and Giannis has got to stay healthy. I mean, Giannis is not getting any younger now, no, like the rest of us. He's been, I mean, he won that championship, it seems like a long time ago now. Well, it was, 4 or 5 years ago. They've been out of the first round once. They've won one series since then, and he's been hurt a lot. So as he gets older, he doesn't shoot well. He's hurt a lot, so I don't know that he's going to age well. But if you got a team of Tatum, Giannis, you know, Trey Murphy, and we're projecting a little bit, I get taking a shot at plus 550. Are you? And we don't have the win totals yet. I'm telling you right now, I will be betting. And Knicks fans don't care; they won their championship. I will be betting the Knicks under. I think anytime you win a championship, the regular season becomes less important. They'll be drinking and partying. It's celebrities. Right. They'll be on every Tonight Show you can name all summer. To me, the Knicks will be an under. I'll ask you first: do you agree with that? And 3 or 4 years from now, is this the start of a run where the Knicks maybe win another title, compete for another one? Or are we going to look back as this is a one-off and they don't really duplicate this? Because this is really just an out-of-nowhere run for the Knicks to become go from a good team to just a dominant championship team.
I think it's probably a one-off. I mean, I think you'll be competitive. But to have everything go right and have the Spurs dribble down their leg the way they did, or not have Oklahoma City in there, who obviously is not going anywhere. Who knows about Denver in the West with Jokic and the health of that team. I just think that kind of, maybe like we said, Boston potentially gets better. Halliburton and the Pacers beat them last year. Like you know, I'm not trying to poo-poo anything that the Knicks did, but it feels like it's a one-off type of deal. And you know what? A great mentor and colleague of mine at ESPN, gentleman by the name of Barry Sachs, who passed away a couple of years ago, the biggest New York sports fan you'd ever want to come across. Yankees, Giants, Knicks, Rangers. I can remember him just talking like, he's like, you give me one title and I'm good for the next 20 years. So I think that's probably the mentality that a lot of Knicks fans probably had. We won our title. We pulled an upset. Unbelievable experience. There's nothing like your first. And I think they would probably trade 5 years of losing for the experience that they've had over this unbelievable run, and the experience that they're going to continue to have over the next couple of days, just absolutely celebrating this win.
Yeah, and we got like 1 minute left, minute and a half. Can you think any other sport where you have a good team completely come out of nowhere and turn into a juggernaut for a couple of months like this?
I mean, the easy one right off the top of my head is what UConn did in their first title run when they beat Miami and San Diego State in the final four, four seed somehow. That would be one. Maybe the Nationals, maybe when they won the World Series over the Dodgers, the Astros rather, when they beat the Dodgers in the NLCS and then beat the Astros in the World Series. Like, they were good, and they had the poor start to the regular season and the postseason. They just got absolutely hot. Maybe that?
Thing is, baseball's different, and they had always had the pitching, and they did have to play a seventh game, and they faced elimination a couple times against the Dodgers. I just mean going from, all right, this team is pretty good, nobody really thinks they're a contender, to all of a sudden they're just blowtorching teams and holding up the trophy. Really just an incredible run. But we'll do more with the Bear. Chris Felica coming up, maybe some NBA draft. World Cup, got to get his thoughts on that. Baseball, U.S. Open, plenty to do. Stick with us, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're back. Shoulda Bet More podcast. We'll move on to some other things. Last thing on NBA Bear. Do you have any draft thoughts, bets? I know these drafts are always very kind to us and very easy to predict.
Oh, clearly.
Have you dipped your toe into the draft yet? I've looked at very little. You know, I know people make a case Boozer maybe go higher than people think. It seems to be a consensus. Hey, these top four, DeBonta, Peterson, Boozer, and Caleb Wilson, all in some order here, are going to be the picks. Mm-hmm. What level of confidence do you have in that? Anything else here if you started to look at the draft?
I think those will probably be the four. I just don't know in what order. Like, you and I are obviously a part of Todd Wishnev's chatter and comment, and nobody out there watches any other than Greg Hoops Peterson or the three-man weave guys. No one pays attention to more college basketball than Todd. And I kind of am in the same wavelength of Todd. Like, I don't – does DeBonta really have a true position in the NBA? Like, he'll be a good, solid player for something, but he is – is he going to be that guy that's going to be kind of generational at that point? I don't know if Peterson or or Wilson or Boozer would be either. But it certainly, I don't think he's a slam dunk to go number one. I mean, maybe the Jazz want him that badly because he loved his experience at BYU, and it's a natural ticket seller for them. But if I'm the Wizards, I'm probably trying to at least at the very minimum throw some smoke screens out there at other players.
How many draft bets do you have right now? I have zero.
Zero.
I get the sense. Yeah.
Zero.
What will that number be? What's a fair over-under? What will that number be as Adam Silver goes up to the stage? And it's a Tuesday night, so it's like 7 or 8 days from now, 8 or 9 days
from
now.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's on a Tuesday night, June 23rd. It was always, for years, it was on a Thursday. And then they moved it up to a Wednesday a couple years ago.
I used to work it at ESPN, and I always remember it being later in the week.
Yeah, it was always a Thursday. The last couple of years, they moved it up to a Wednesday. Now it's Tuesday and Wednesday, which I'm not sure why they do it on Tuesday, but everything's kind of different with the scheduling. And this year, you know, no finals games on Sundays. I don't know. I guess the new TV partners maybe, you know, have their ways or have their reasons. What is the over-under when Adam Silver steps up to the podium? How many bets will you have in your account? This will be a fun one.
It's going to be very, very low.
I'm
so demoralized right now at everything, the way things are going. I mean, we had an unbelievable soccer one yesterday with Haiti under 3.5 corners. They had one corner for 75 minutes of the game, and then they had a little bit of an attacking flurry and got 3 in 4 minutes, and they landed on 4. It's just one of those. I get everything that you look at right now is kind of like you second guess yourself. But the other thing too is how many places are going to have a lot of NBA draft props out there. Like, I don't even know. If you said 4.5, I think that would probably be a pretty good underplay right there. I can't see myself with 5 or more.
I'm going over. We'll hear whispers. We'll hear, you know, Vegas refund. We'll hear, you know, him giving out picks. We'll tail stuff. We'll come around. I'm sure we'll have stuff, whether we like it or not. You mentioned the soccer. Let's get into the games on Monday. Spain, Cape Verde, Spain -1,000. Let's just go game by game. Spain -1,000 favorites. Anything side, team total, you know, prop. Obviously, draw's a long shot. The dog is a long shot. Team total, I don't know. You tell me. You guide us. Anything you'll be looking at in this game Monday at noon Eastern?
I would look at under 3.5 in this game. Cape Verde is, I mean, they are obviously one of the bottom feeders in the tournament. But Spain have a few injuries here. I think they're going to be very deliberate, very workmanlike. I think they're going to be comfortable to kind of pass the ball around, take their opportunities when they come. I mean, Cape Verde is certainly not going to pull an upset or even get a draw. Even Spain has won 30 straight games, or not won, but they're unbeaten in 30 straight matches. So they shouldn't be threatening. I could see this being like a 3-0 type win for Spain here, where they just kind of go out, do the minimum that they need to do, make sure that Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams and some of the other players that they have who are kind of nursing knocks don't get hurt any further. So I would, maybe you're looking at like a Spain -2.5 or something along those lines, but I don't see this being a ridiculously high scoring game, I think, like a lot of people do.
Belgium -165 against Egypt. The draw is +290. Egypt is +450. Any thoughts here? 3 o'clock Eastern.
I like both teams to score here. At -105. And at the time we're recording this, I don't see a prop listed for this. But if a prop pops up on will there be a penalty during this match, I would bet the yes. Belgium, their back line, they have a tendency to be very sloppy on defense, and every now and then could make a silly foul in the box. Egypt, again, another very aggressive team. I could see a penalty being scored here, but I do see a defensive lapse at some point for both teams. I'm high on Belgium to make a run potentially to the quarterfinal here. They have a ton of attacking skill with Romelu Lukaku and Jeremy Doku, and Kevin De Bruyne has been in their midfield forever. But Egypt have a couple of guys, obviously, in Mosala and Omar Mamrouche, who can certainly put some pressure and stretch that Belgium defense. So both teams to score, yes. And if you can find will there be a penalty? It's probably usually maybe 4-1 or so might be a fair price to be a penalty if it gets posted.
Uruguay -225 favorites against Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia 70-1. The draw is +350. Any angle here?
Yeah, I think this has a potential to be kind of a brick fight. Like, I can't see a ton of goals here. Uruguay, this is their first major competition in forever, where they don't have Edinson Cavani or Luis Suarez. Darwin Nunez has really not stepped into that role of attacker. So goals may be hard to come by for Uruguay against the Saudi Arabia side, which probably is not going to play a very free, wide-open type of game. I'd play a little bit of draw at +130. First half draw, 135, thinking that it may take a while for Uruguay to break down. And this game's going to be played in, like, oppressive heat and humidity in Miami as well. I think the heat index is going to be right around 100 degrees. So you could see some players laboring here for the first time in this tournament. So first half draw, +135, and then Saudi Arabia under 3.5 corners. I'm going to go back to the corner bet, and I'm sure at some point in the second half, Saudi Arabia will be sitting on one and then wind up getting a few late to give us another loser there.
Fourth and final game on Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern. Iran -120 favorites over New Zealand. Draw +245. New Zealand +380. What do you like?
This feels 1-0 one way or the other. Potentially 0-0. New Zealand is not a team that is going to put a bunch on the board. Iran obviously will be very emotionally inspired and into this match for reasons that are fairly obvious. Like I said, I think it's at some point we may get a goal, but I took under 1.5 total goals at +175 just because this has the potential to be 1-0 or 0-0. If a team does score two to beat me, fine, but in terms of a dynamic match, I don't think we're going to see one here. It'll be tightly contested. So I'll take a little alt total under 1.5 at +175.
In the final 2 minutes or so here, the first 3 or 4 days of the tournament, anything you've seen change your mind? Any future you would place accordingly?
If I don't know what this is, a future that we talked about, I know on a numbers game and bear bets as well, but Morocco to win its group, that price, I don't know what it's gone to now, but the fact that they did get the draw in the first match against Brazil, and they own, as of right now, a lot of the tie breaks. If they could beat Scotland, who looked last night against Haiti, you beat Scotland, you beat Haiti, you're going to win that group and get a pretty favorable run the rest of the way. So if there is a still around, I think 325, I think, was what that price was prior to the tournament, down from like 5-1. If they're still anywhere around 3-1, I'd play Morocco to win the group. And then the other one, which I think is worth a play now, would be the United States to the round of 16. We all figured after one match in that group that Australia, USA, and Seattle will determine the winner of that group, right? But you look at if the U.S. wins that group, their likely opponents in the round of 32, you're looking at like Bosnia, Iran, New Zealand, like teams that like you should be able to handle. And then I think they would draw potentially Belgium in the round of 16. So U.S. to reach the round of 16 would certainly be worth a look early on as well.
And Bear has not been one to buy into the U.S. hype. He says, hey, patriotism aside, the only colors that matter are the green, not the red, white, and blue. But look, gotta play the ball where it lies, so to speak. So we'll finish up with the Bear. We'll do some baseball, maybe do some U.S. Open. Stay with us, Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Should have been more podcasts. We'll be back.
This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're back. Shoulda Bet More podcast. The Bear, Chris Felica, Fox Sports, wrapping up here. All right, let's, before we get to U.S. Open baseball, little check in here. Scoobles back for the Tigers. I thought maybe for a moment, you know, they would win enough games where they think about hanging on to him. I'm not sure that's the case. Is there a bet to be made right now, awards, win totals, futures, or otherwise here in Major League Baseball?
I will be full disclosure here. I have not re-examined baseball win totals here. I can only talk about what I have in my portfolio, and from it's kind of how at this point in the year, kind of how I look and analyze futures and win totals, and the fact that I've got unbelievable prices on the Giants and Royals to have the worst record in the league, and they are right there, just what, two games, I guess, ahead would be the proper terminology of the pace set by the Rockies right now. I guess the bet that I would have to make personally would be the Rockies to have the worst record, knowing that I've got an average price of 78-1 on the Giants and like 85-1 on the Royals. But I guess I'm talking myself into a bet now. I think if you look at the Royals win total, that might not be low enough. Bubich and Reagans have both been shut down again now in their arm. I mean, that there you lose those two guys again for the rest of the year, and your staff is just going to be completely decimated. And who knows what type of team they turn into later in the year, if they're a seller or not. But maybe the Royals win total will be something under all of the best prices that Sammy P talked about earlier in the year, about the White Sox to make the playoffs and win the division. Those are probably gone, but the White Sox look like, and you look at the American League, it looks like they are a playoff team. So you could probably get a good price maybe on the White Sox, certainly in that division, if they are the beneficiaries indeed of the Tigers kind of stinking. That's going to be one of the bigger questions for Detroit is, Scoobal, clearly for a start back, wasn't great. Like, is that a sign of just first start back from the DL rust? Or is it, okay, this little procedure that he had really wasn't what he needed to have done? He needs something bigger along the way. And will they be able to get the bonanza that they certainly hope for in the at the trade deadline to unload him? So if I'm Detroit, I am looking to trade him, but unfortunately, are you going to be in a position where maybe you're taking now 50 cents on the dollar because of how he looked yesterday coming back?
Where do you think he ultimately ends up? Where is he pitching, you know, a month, I guess a couple months from now? I've used Philly as a sleeper just because Dombrowski has been historically very aggressive, not really tied to prospects. And man, if you could roll out Wheeler, Sanchez, and Scoobal in some order in a playoff series, I don't care how good the Dodgers are. You got as good a shot as anybody. So I've used the Philly sleeper. I don't know if that's the rumor. I don't know their farm system, but with only a couple months left on a contract, pretty much anyone can get him. If you're willing to give up three or four prospects, you know, he's there for the taking. So I've used Philly as a sleeper. Some people said, you know what, Tampa maybe goes for it. They were reportedly in on Ohtani a few years ago, and Angels, just typical Angels, said, no, we don't want Junior Caminero. We're going to ride or die with Ohtani here, which was dumb. But I don't know. Phillies has been my sleeper. Do you have a team in mind that's kind of off the radar?
Great. I was going to say Braves. I mean, okay. Slider now obviously down. You don't know if and when you're getting Schwellenbach back again. Like you throw along the same line, you throw Scoobal in there. You're throwing out Sale and Scoobal. That's a pretty impressive deal as well. So again, the Braves farm system usually very, very loaded, and I'd be curious to see if they maybe would be the team maybe to make a splash there, but that would be someone I could potentially look at. It feels like they'll probably deal them to the National League, though.
Who are your six American League playoff teams? I'll put you on the spot.
Appreciate that.
Yankees are one. You probably figure the Rays get a spot, and they have enough to hang on. So you got a central. Who's your central winner? Are you going White Sox?
I will go Guardians, White Sox, both make it. And then we will get Mariners, and I will say Rangers. How about that? Two from each division.
Okay. I was going to maybe the Rangers.
And the one that I'm waffling about is the Blue Jays.
Okay, because I was going to say, there's got to be a team. You figure just kind of process of elimination. There's a team among this morass of mediocre teams in the American League, and there's plenty of them. There's got to be one that, you know, makes a run, makes a, not a New York Knicks type of run, but a run that's like, hey, this team was under 500 or 500 in the summer, and all of a sudden they're in the, you know, ALCS or the division series. You got to figure out, look, I've kind of given up on Baltimore. Maybe Baltimore has the talent. Do you have anyone you're eyeing? Is maybe Texas or Toronto's the answer?
Yeah, I think Texas would be that team. I mean, if they get their lineup healthy, and DeGrom certainly can carry, they've had some bullpen issues as well. But that, I think Texas would be the team that, what, two games under 500 right now. If you're looking for that mediocrity malaise there, they would be the one team under 500 that I certainly would take a look at.
What are you going to be betting U.S. Open?
Well, a lot of people were high on Brooks Koepka, but he obviously withdrew from the Canadian Open today with a hand injury. So obviously stay clear from him. It's easy to say Scotty top 10, but Shinnecock will be a course where it is going to test a lot of people. The U.S. Open is my favorite major to bet, slam to bet, because I, you know me, I'm a miserable SOB. I love seeing people struggle and being miserable. I love betting to miss the cut type plays, and Shinnecock is the type of course where you are going to see miss the cut type plays, especially coming off of the PGA, where we had a winner come from nowhere, and you didn't have a lot of the big names miss the cut. Like, you could get a Rahm miss the cut here. You can get a Justin Thomas miss the cut here. You could get a Fleetwood miss the cut. You can get some really big names here to miss the cut, because this is a very unforgiving type of course, and big numbers can be had. So that will be probably my favorite way to bet this, is looking at some of those bigger names and playing them to miss the cut. But outside of Scotty right now, I mean, he would be the guy I would pick. If the harder the course, the better his chances are to win. He's shown he can win a major at 14, 15, 16 under par. And I think he's obviously shown he can win a major at -2, -3. If even they do have a minus in front of the number that they win the tournament with this year.
College football, be here before you know it in the last couple minutes. Heisman, is there anyone, you know, people are, I'm sure, going to ask you this, looking for a long shot. Is there anyone that jumps off the page here in the last couple minutes?
It does not seem that way to me this year, because I think you have, where we're in the past couple of years, you had a lot of uncertainty, I think, with some teams, and maybe the quarterback play on the big name teams wasn't exactly what you would expect. But I think this year, if you look at the big name teams and the teams that are the likely contenders, you can make a case, I think, for 6 or 7 teams to win the national title this year. But you're looking at Texas, Arch Manning, Notre Dame, CJ Carr, Ohio State, Julian Sain, Miami, Dari Mensah and Mark Fletcher. Oregon, Dante Moore. Like, odds are one of these guys is going to be the Heisman winner, because these teams are going to be top 4, top 5 in the country. So I don't think there is a super long shot play to be had. I mean, obviously that might change as the season gets closer, if injury comes in to play somewhere. But I would be surprised if we got a Fernando Mendoza, Travis Hunter type, completely off the map type ticket. Like, I mean, I think in the NFL draft just kind of shows it the last couple of years too, where the quarterbacks that have gone high, like, really, you're kind of shaking your head, like, really, that's what we're going with here. So it feels like one of those big name quarterbacks will ultimately win it.
Bear, appreciate the time, man. We're going to bounce back. Spurs couldn't get it done. We've been close, but no cigar in so many of these futures. So we're due. I know that gives you a lot of comfort, but appreciate you coming on. Yeah. Bear Bets Podcast, @ChrisFelica on Twitter. Fox Sports. So check out his work on all of those platforms. And appreciate you guys listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Remember, this podcast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern. So leave a review. Those help us out. But until next time, stay tuned here. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Should Have Bet More podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you Wednesday.